Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This last Thanksgiving, Dave took his niece to the edge of the wilderness and left her there. He didn't mean to take her to the wilderness. The word wilderness was the furthest thing from his mind. He was in one of those factory card outlet stores, and there was a bin of coloring books. They were wrapped in cellophane, so he wasn't able to look through them, but he saw one package that said Bible stories. On the cover was Moses with his arms stretched out over the sea, and on the back was a picture of King David. And Dave thought, this would be great, because Carly, his niece, was in kindergarten. And everyone was getting together for Thanksgiving, and he could sit with her, and she could color, and he could tell her how the pictures told the stories of God. When his brother and sister-in-law arrived at the family home, Dave was there and showed Carly the coloring books and asked if she wanted to color. Her eyes lit up as she took the book and saw the cover. Dave told her this was Moses. He was making the waters move apart. And her eyes opened wide, and she dived into the book, but she didn't start at the first page. She kind of just opened it up, and there she saw a picture of a little baby in a basket in the water. And Dave told her that this was baby Moses. They talked about coloring the water blue, the basket brown, and the grasses green, but then she turned back a page to see what she had missed. And there she saw an Egyptian guard with an angry face about to tear a baby out of his mother's arms. There were tears coming out of the woman's eyes, and Dave looked at the bottom of the page, and he saw the word slain. And he got a little worried, but thought that he was safe because Carly wouldn't know what that word means. And then Carly said, that man looks mean. And Dave said, yes, he was mean, suggested they go back to baby Moses. Instead, she flipped a few pages forward and landed right in the middle of the plagues. There she saw a huge hillside covered with cattle and sheep, all dead, many lying on their backs with four legs sticking in the air. And David tried to get out of the plagues, but she turned the page only to find a man running out of a house with boils on his body. What's that, she asked. Those are sores, Dave said, as he thought, I can't believe we're going to sit here and color all those boils red. But then Dave's mom called from the kitchen that she needed help, and much to his brother's dismay, Dave jumped at the chance. He didn't mean to bring Carly into this wilderness, but he left her there with his brother, her dad. But she didn't even seem to notice because she was so engrossed in the coloring book. Her eyes were wide with terror and wonder, and she was even trying to sound out the words. As Dave left, she must have turned the page again because he heard her say, Daddy, those fish look dead. Terror and wonder on the edge of the wilderness. By the way, that Dave was a classmate of mine. Terror and wonder on the edge of the wilderness. Those weren't gifts that Dave intended to give his niece on Thanksgiving. But as we prepare for the coming of Jesus, these are the gifts that Luke intends for you and me. Gifts of terror and wonder. We're now in the second week of Advent. And of course, Advent means coming, and it's a season of preparing for the coming of Christ. In the world, December is a very physical time. A time for dragging out the Christmas decorations, putting up the lights, purchasing gifts, sending out cards. That's how the world asks us to prepare for Christmas. But in the church, we do something different. In the church, we don't just prepare to celebrate a day, but we prepare to meet a person, Jesus. And the way the church has done this for centuries is by hearing from that other person. John the Baptist, a true voice from the wilderness. Now, every gospel writer includes John. And everywhere John appears, he's pointing to Jesus, pointing us to Jesus. He quotes Old Testament prophecies and visions of the future and holds them together in a way that will lead us to Jesus. But the Jesus John brings isn't the Jesus we're most familiar with. Our Jesus is in a soft flowing robe, gently embracing children. Our Jesus is bathed in soft light, his face almost glowing as he looks into the distance. Our Jesus is the Lamb of God. For John, it's a different story. John comes like an unwelcome guest at dinner. If you were to sit next to him at the table, your conversation would match his wild eyes as he told you stories filled with visions of destruction and flames. The fire he sees hasn't happened yet, but he knows it's coming. And it's the fire we heard about earlier. God's wrath on our world, refining the righteous and destroying the wicked. We heard John cry out, God's axe is already laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that does not bear good fruit will be consumed with unquenchable fire. No wonder John was never invited as a guest to the king's palace or dressed in fine clothes at fancy dinners. What he saw caused him to value everything differently. And so he stands on the edge of the wilderness calling for you and me to come out and join him. His eyes are wild with the future, but his clothing comes from the past. Animal skins like Elijah, dressed like a prophet, fresh out of the desert, where he has encountered and seen God. John knows the God who brings holy fire, lightning, and thunder to the top of a mountain. The God who can sustain people for 40 years, feeding them with the bread of heaven, or annihilate them in a moment. Who can send fiery serpents that bite, and whose stings bring death. The God John has seen is anything but tame, approachable, gentle, or sentimental. That's how John comes. His eyes see into the future, his clothing looks to the past, but his words are for us today. He tells you and me to prepare for the coming of this God. Turn away from your sin and prepare for Jesus. Notice that John doesn't say, prepare for Christmas. He says, prepare for the Christ. And there is a difference, a big difference, between preparing for a person and preparing for a day. We all know people who are great at preparing for Christmas. They can get the house cleaned and decorated and in order for a day. They can get their busy schedule and their hectic life quieted for a day. They can even get their best game face on, their relationship with their good-for-nothing son-in-law and his nothing-but-trouble son from a previous marriage who better not go to the fridge and get another beer. They can even get that in order and be cordial and act like a good Christian for a day. Because when you prepare for a day, you're only getting ready for 24 hours. It'll be here and then gone, and life can return to normal. But preparing for a person is different. Especially when that person doesn't just come and go, but comes to stay in your life. He comes to invite you into his kingdom and use you, your words, your thoughts, your actions, in his plan to save our fallen world. Getting ready for that person is different because when that person comes and comes to stay, your whole life changes. Your moral messiness, your blinded busyness, your broken relationships, those things need to change and change for good. And notice how John describes the person who's coming. This isn't the gentle Jesus. This isn't a God of quiet moments around a coloring book or sitting around a Christmas tree. This isn't the sentimental Jesus. This is a God who says, this isn't a God who says, don't worry about your sin. Everybody does it. I'm just glad you're here. John says, after me will come one more powerful than I. Jesus will not be more gentle, more understanding, more tolerant. He will be more powerful. Where John baptized with water, This one will baptize with the Spirit. And throughout the Gospel of Luke, we see the terror and wonder of the power of Jesus. There's terror in his power. Luke shows us Jesus who enters the synagogue and teaches. And then when his teaching is done, you suddenly hear a voice. But it's not a human voice, but the voice of an evil spirit crying out. And right there in the middle of worship, Jesus declares war on Satan. When sick people are brought to him, instead of speaking of sickness, he speaks of the soul that needs forgiveness. Wherever he goes, life changes so that we see sin instead of sickness and a battle with demonic powers right in the midst of worship. There's terror in that power. And there's also wonder. He shows up with power over sin and the devil, and then suddenly, his power disappears in suffering. He's betrayed by one of his own, brutalized by Roman soldiers, hung up to die on a tree. His disciples expected a display of his power and glory, but what they got was a dead would-be Messiah hanging on a cross. And there on the cross, abandoned by his people, and worse, abandoned by his father, the one mightier than John dies. And the terrible wonder is that he dies for what you have done, for your moral messiness, and your blinded busyness, and your broken relationships. These have broken the body of Jesus. But this is the power of God made known in weakness. He is the only one strong enough to endure your eternal condemnation for sin. He bears the wrath, the anger, the fury of God, and leaves you with a word of promise. You are forgiven. Because the one who suffered the punishment of sin rose from the grave and now at the right hand of God rules over all things for you. He has brought you into his kingdom to use you to give witness to his love until that day he returns to bring about a new creation. Finally, a kingdom that will never pass away. So what are you doing for Christmas? Are you traveling out of town to be with family? Or is family coming to be with you? Did your plans get short-circuited because of COVID? Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, when it comes to Christmas, don't forget John. Because John brings you to Jesus. John tells you to prepare, not for a day, but for a person. And he comes here this evening with wild eyes and strange clothing to help you prepare not just for a sentimental moment holding candles in a dark church singing Silent Night, but to remind you to prepare for eternity. John prepares you to meet Jesus, the Jesus who has prepared an eternity for and where he will be with you. Regardless, though, of what you're doing for Christmas, John reminds you of what God is doing. He's still in the business of tearing apart the heavens and changing your world. He did it when he washed you with water and baptized you with the Spirit. And here, with and in you, he can use the words of a hymn in the middle of worship to declare war on the devil. Here, he can turn a concern about sickness into a concern about the soul. God is still wild and strange and awesome and mighty. And then just when you feel you need his power the most, he can disappear in weakness, leaving you seemingly alone, to wait and to hope and to trust in the crucified one. to trust that in his weakness, there's power. To trust that in his dying, there's love. A love stronger than death, even though everything around you tells you otherwise. If this vision fills you with fear and love, terror, wonder, you've come to the edge of the wilderness. Like Carly, you're just beginning to read the good news with eyes wide open with terror and wonder at the reign of God in Jesus with you and in you. And that's where you're meant to be, where God wants us to be this Advent, here in this place, preparing for Jesus to meet our Jesus. Amen.